أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم عليه وسلم خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the ayat which I have recited, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ fattabi'uni. That say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believers that if you love Allah ta'ala as you claim, so what you must do then, you must follow me. Follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow his sunnah. And by following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah, what you will get in return? يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. You will get Allah Ta'ala's love, and you will also get Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala is the most forgiving, most merciful. So this is what we'll achieve and what we'll get by following the sunnah and walking in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll get this love of Allah Ta'ala, and we'll also get Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, which we are all striving for. We know we are currently in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the month in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent down and brought into this world. And in this month, the activities of seerah, the talks of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the durood is increased, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's praises are also sung. Now all of this is good, and all of this has been carrying on for a long time. But more important than this is where we take certain aspects of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we go into certain aspects, and instead of just listening and feeling motivated and inspired for that moment, we need to start taking one aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life and implement it into our life, and bring one aspect into our life. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was asked once regarding the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, and her reply was that kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, that the character and the conduct of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an. He was a walking, talking and living Qur'an. Whatever injunctions, whatever commandments were in the Qur'an Sharif, whatever do's and don'ts were in the Qur'an Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced on that 100%. So his whole character was based on the Qur'an Sharif. Whatever the Qur'an Sharif asked us to do, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. Whatever he prevented, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stay away from. And if we look more into the akhlaq and the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many aspects we can talk about. One is the aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honesty. What an honest and upright person Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Even before receiving nubuwat, in the time of Jahiliyyah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living amongst the Quraysh and amongst the Kuffar, he was known as As-Siddiq and Al-Amin. The Kuffar themselves used to call him As-Siddiq and Al-Amin. That is the most truthful and the most trustworthy. To such an extent that even after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nubuwat, now when they became his arch enemies and staunch enemies, at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving Makkah Mukarramah and making hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he left Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu in charge. And he said that all these people of the Kuffar and the Quraysh, they have left by me amana and trusts. And whatever belongings they were scared that will get lost or stolen, they used to come and leave it by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though they were his enemies. That's how much they trusted, and that's how honest Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So he appointed Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu to dispatch and return all the amana and all the trust to all the people of the Quraysh. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu did this in 3 days, and then he also migrated and caught up with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we can see from here that how honest and how trustworthy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, that even the kuffar, even his enemies trusted him so much that they left their belongings by him. Imagine if our enemies, would they even imagine to leave any belonging, even the most insignificant thing? But here they were leaving their valuables by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing how trustworthy he was. Another incident mentioned regarding the trustworthiness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honesty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 4 daughters, and he also had sons, but they had passed away during the infancy. So one son of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Ibrahim radiallahu an, he passed away at the age before even 2 years, before he even reached 2 years, he passed away. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was grieved by this, and he was very saddened by this passing away of his son, and he began to tear. So one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tearing, and they say, Ya Nabi of Allah, what is this? You are crying? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the eyes will cry, the heart will feel the grief. There's nothing wrong in crying, there's nothing wrong in feeling grief. But the tongue and the mouth will not utter such words which will displease my Rabb. So it's okay to cry in such situations. So when this happened, when Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away, then at that moment or at that time, it happened such that there was an eclipse. The moon and sun eclipsed. So some people began saying that the moon and the sun has eclipsed due to out of sadness for the passing away of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's son. Now, we know some people, they accuse Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of being a narcissist, of being a liar, of making up all this thing that he's seen, the angel coming to him. So if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a dishonest person, he could have said, yes, the skies and the moon and the sun are all grieving for my son. But instead, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was honest, and he said that he immediately, in that state where he was saddened and in such a situation, he was struck by such a situation, he immediately went onto the pulpit and he started addressing the people, and he said that the moon and sun are from the creations of Allah Ta'ala, and they do not grieve by anyone's passing away. So this is another incident where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's honesty came to the front. On another incident at the Battle of Badr, which was a very decisive battle, we know that the Muslims were ill-equipped, and the Quraysh, the enemies, they had 1,000 strong men. The Muslims were only 313 plus minus ill-equipped. And at that time, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, his father, were just released by the Kuffar, by the Quraysh, just before this Badr. And part of the agreement of their release was that they won't take a place, they won't take part in the battle. So when they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they told him, we have this problem. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, again, his honesty, he said that you have made a pact, you have to stick to your pact. Even though the Muslims needed the assistance, they needed the help, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't allow them to take part and told him, head back towards Medina. Respect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life and his akhlaq, which is his honesty. Then we know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how kind he was, how generous he was, how merciful he was. It is mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during Salah, which is an act of ibadah, one of the greatest acts of ibadah, which will be the first to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that sometimes I shorten my Salah. When I'm reading my Salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, imagine if how much sweetness he must be taking out from that Salah. But he says that I shorten the Salah. Why? Because I hear sometimes the crying of the children in the back. And this will put their mothers through difficulty. Their children are crying. So because of that, I shorten my Salah out of compassion and out of mercy for them. And he also advised that if you perform Salah and you are performing in a congregation, then you should shorten the Salah, because amongst you are sick people, amongst you are the elderly, amongst you are the old people. You should take all of them into consideration when you are reading in Jamaat. But he said, when you are reading alone and you are performing Salah on your own, then lengthen as much as you want. This again shows how compassionate, how merciful Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. Even during an act of ibadah, where if it was us, we would say, lengthen the Salah, why should we shorten the Salah? But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so compassionate and so merciful. When it came to the animals and other creatures also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed compassion and mercy and kindness. It is mentioned that once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba were on a journey, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to relieve himself. So he went one side and he went to relieve himself. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they came across a nest with some chicks in it, some young birds in it. And the mother wasn't there. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they took the chicks. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back and the mother bird came back and he was flapping frantically, you could see he was in distress. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What's the matter? Why are you putting this creature into distress? Return its chicks back to it." And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum returned it. So we can see that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mercy and kindness extended even beyond the humans and the jinn creatures. So just back to recap what we spoke about so far, is that we are in a month where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mention happens a lot in this month. His praises are sung. But instead of talking and singing his praises, more important than that is we should look at his life and take certain aspects and take lesson from it and start implementing it immediately. Then another aspect of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was his forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala mentions that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you, O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but as a mercy to all the worlds, to all the universes, to all the worlds, whether it's humankind, jinnkind, animalkind, plants, anything. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy to all. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that before Nubuwwat, he used to be a tradesman, he used to be a businessman, and he began working for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. And she was impressed by his akhlaq and his character, and she proposed to him. Eventually they got married. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 years old. So after a few years, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with a daughter, his first daughter, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. Zainab means, Zain in Arabic means adornment and beauty, and Ab means father. So Zainab, the adornment of the father. So she was the father's adornment and his beauty. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with this child, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. And they continued living, and as time went, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, as Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha started maturing and becoming of age, now she wanted to get her married. So she came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, "I know of a boy who will be perfect for our Zainab radiallahu anha." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never really said no to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. So even in this matter, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed it, and Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha got married to her cousin, the son of Hazrat Hala bin Khuwailid radiallahu anha, who is the sister of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. So they got married. She got married to Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi', and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very happy with him as a son-in-law. And he was also a tradesman and a businessman like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So once, while he was on a journey, that's when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has received his nubuwat, whilst Hazrat Abul As was away on a journey. So his daughter Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha accepted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message. And when her husband came back, she was very anxious whether her husband will accept the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. And when she presented it to him, he was silent about it. Because if he has to accept the religion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it means him going against his forefather's religion for the sake of his wife. So he didn't say anything, he remained silent. She was very disheartened by this. And the days went by, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dawat and believers started increasing. The dawat started getting more difficult. Eventually, it came to such a point where the Quraysh of Makkah wanted to persecute Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's other two daughters, Hazrat Ruqayya and Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhumah, were married to the two sons of Abu Jahl. So the Quraysh, on their persistence, instructed that these two daughters be divorced. The husbands must divorce them to cause pain to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So immediately they divorced the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they also came to Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi'ah to ask him and to persist and to tell him to divorce Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. But he didn't hear any of it. And he persisted and he said, "I will not divorce her." So eventually the Muslims, after some time went by, the Muslims started migrating and making hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And eventually it was time for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make hijrah. So you can imagine the feelings and what Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha was going through. Because the Muslims, all the supports that are going slowly, slowly, eventually the greatest support of her, which is her father, had to also leave. And she wasn't allowed to leave. So eventually Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrah and Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha remained behind. After some time in Medina Munawwarah, we know that on the second year of Hijri, the Battle of Badr took place. And in this battle, the Quraysh, they brought out people from Makkah, even those that didn't want to join, and from amongst them was Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabih, the son-in-law of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he came into the battle, and in the early stages of the battle, he was captured. So when he was captured, all the prisoners were taken back to Medina Munawwarah, and it was decided that a ransom has to be given for their freedom. So Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, she said she will pay the ransom for her husband. So she sent a necklace with his brother to come and give pay the ransom for her husband. So as the ransom was coming in, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba were looking at it, discussing, and then they were freeing the slaves, the captors, the prisoners of war. So when this bag came of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha to free her husband, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened it, immediately he started tearing and he started crying. So all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were wondering now what is so special about this necklace. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is the necklace that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha gave to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha when she got married. And all the memories of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha are playing in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mind now. So it was very emotional for him. So he asked permission from the Sahaba. He said that if you'll allow, let me free my son-in-law, and also if you'll allow, send back the necklace. Immediately Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, by all means. And Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi was freed in this way. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that Allah Ta'ala has said that the marriage between mushrikeen and Muslims are now broken. So do me one favor, and when you get back, send Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha to me. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam later on praised Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi on this, because he kept up to his promise. As soon as he reached Makkah Mukarramah, he told Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha that you need to go, your father has asked me to send you back. And he sent her back with one of his brothers. He couldn't make it, so he sent one of his brothers to accompany her on the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. Hazrat Zayd radiallahu an, Zayd bin Haritha, who was the adopted son of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will meet them there and accompany her back to Medina Munawwarah. But now, the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is leaving Makkah Mukarramah, leaving her in-laws. The kuffar didn't like this. So as they were coming out, she was 4 months pregnant, one person from the kuffar, Habbar bin Aswad, he started taunting and he started poking the camel of the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And eventually she had fell down and she hit a boulder and immediately she miscarried. And she was bleeding profusely. So her brother-in-law took her back to Makkah Mukarramah for a few days. After she recovered, then she eventually reached Medina Munawwarah. And she had her daughter with her, Umama radiallahu anha. Famous daughter that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and comes in many narrations how fond Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was of Hazrat Umama radiallahu anha. So she carried on like this. This was in the second year of Hijri, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated. So a few years passed in this way, until eventually one day she heard a knock on her door while she was in Medina Munawwarah, and it was her husband Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi. So she thought that he came to accept and he became a Muslim. But he said that he is not yet ready and he never come as a Muslim, but he was on one of his trade routes and the Muslims got hold of them and they took all the possessions. So the closest place that he knew was Medina Munawwarah in Iran, and he's looking for amnesty and safety. So it was just before the time of Fajr. So she told him, wait until the time of Fajr. When the time of Fajr set in, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum all gathered to perform the Fajr Salah, she put her head out of her room and she made an announcement that my cousin, the father of my children, are here and I am giving him protection and amnesty. So after the Salah finished, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and told the Sahaba, have you all heard what Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anhu said? They said, yes, we heard what you heard. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is the first time I've heard it, meaning I didn't make a plot, or I didn't know this year. This is the first time that you're hearing it, I'm also hearing this year. So he said, if you all permit, then we'll allow her protection. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum again, they agreed immediately. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and accepted the protection that Zainab radiallahu anha has afforded for her ex-husband. But he said that y'all two are haram for each other, so please, there shouldn't be any close contact. So Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, she came and interceded on behalf of Hazrat Abul As ibn Rabi'ah. And time is short. Just to cut the long story short, so he eventually got back to Makkah Mukarramah in Medina Munawwarah. And when he got back, he returned all the belongings back to them. And he said, have I given all your belongings and all your amana back, which he had on the trade route? They said, yes. He said, now I proclaim that I believe in Allah Ta'ala and accept Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a messenger. And he went back to Medina Munawwarah. This was in the 6th year of Hijrah. They were separated for 6 years. Just looking at the struggle that the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through and how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with all of this. Few months later, after they got reunited, everything was happy. And few months later, she succumbed to the wounds that she had been afflicted with when she fell down and miscarried. And she passed away a few months later. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abul As bin Rabi was very saddened by this. They were grieving and very saddened by this. And eventually, in the 8th year of Hijrah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, now we know that he entered Makkah Mukarramah without any bloodshed. The kuffar, they all scattered, and a message was sent out that bring so and so person, whoever caused harm, and they need to be killed. So one of them was Habbar bin Aswad, who inflicted pain on Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. And when he heard of this, he said that I heard of the mercy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I heard how merciful he is, how kind, how forgiving he is. So when he was brought in front, imagine the murderer of your daughter, the person who caused pain, so much pain, and caused your grandchild to be miscarried. He comes. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are ready to, they took out their swords, they are ready to behead him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give him a chance, let him explain himself. He said, O Nabi of Allah, O Messenger, I heard how kind and how forgiving you were. Please forgive me for this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately forgave him. So this is the point. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's forgiveness, the person that caused so much harm, so much pain he put them through, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave him. Another person, Wahshi, was sent. He was the person in the battle of Uhud who killed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. And he mutilated his body and they pulled out his liver and eventually he gave it to the lady who asked him and she chewed on his liver because of what Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu did to her father in the battle of Badr. So Hazrat Wahshi, he was the one who killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. When he was brought before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, are you Wahshi? He said, yes. He asked, how did you cause so much pain and how did you kill my uncle? I want to know. He said, I cannot describe it. Eventually, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also forgave him and told him that, please, I forgive you, but please don't come in front of me because whenever you come in front of me and I see your face, I'm grieving and I only remember my uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. So from these few aspects, we can see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most honest. When it came to his forgiveness, he knew no bounds. When it came to his mercy and kindness, he was most compassionate, most merciful from amongst the men. And just these few aspects of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lives we can look at. We can look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life and just these few aspects we can bring into our lives. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal and what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.